You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Looked like Aaron Rodgers pulled out a little too quick.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I feel like we can run the table.
Oh, I have sizzle.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another beautiful, beautiful episode of The Sweep. I am your host, Fred Thurston. And I gotta be honest, folks, I'm out here as a single host tonight. No Blaine. We love you, Blaine, but we are luckily blessed to have on the mic with us Mr. Thane Getz, the newest writer for Pack to the Future. And my man, you have been straight killing it with the drafting and the scouting reports, kind of making me a little nervous about my job here, but tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're all about, where we can find you on Twitter, and all that goodness.
I'm Thane Getz. You know, like he said, I just started writing for Pack to the Future here a couple weeks ago. Big into the draft. You know, I've been a Packers fan since probably like 4 years old, growing up in Nebraska of all places. But yeah, you know, I'm really excited to write for Pack to the Future, and this is my first podcast. I'm ready to give it a whirl.
I'm growing up in Nebraska. That's pretty intense. I grew up obviously in Wisconsin, a big Cornhusker fan. I've always enjoyed watching them play. I like the old school feel of Nebraska football. It's been one of the things I've enjoyed. Plus, growing up
so
watching,
you identify yourself as a Husker fan?
Partly. I can't confirm neither or deny that because I may get in trouble with certain people. But growing up watching Eric Crouch was pretty fun to see a white quarterback just run all over the college football. I'll never forget it. He was one of my favorites. And then when the Packers actually brought him in, that blew my mind. So it was one of those cool moments seeing one of your childhood favorites come to your home team. So
I remember when Brandon Jackson got drafted to Green Bay, everybody in Nebraska was all excited. Same with, you know, everybody liked Amon Green as well. So
yep,
you got some supporters.
Good. I like to hear that. I think the Packer Nation is runs pretty deep. So well, we're excited to have you on, excited to listen, excited to hear about what you think about a few guys. I know we're gonna focus on some of the first round guys, but tonight is mostly dedicated to a mini episode of The Sweep, which means we're shooting for about a 30-minute show, which will most likely end up being an hour. So just get over it, people. This is what it's about. We're talking draft now, and I know I can't ever stop talking about it. I know you probably can't. I know my wife probably wishes I would. But this is that time of the year where that's pretty much all I think about, and it consumes me. So there is no time limit for me personally on this, but if we can try and maybe keep it to 30 minutes, it's not going to happen. But speaking of the draft, quick little news here for The Sweep. We are back this year with our awesome, awesome sponsors, Ground Round, again. And we're kicking it right off hard with them, full-fledged draft party. The first night of the draft in Neenah. It's going to be huge. Free wings all night long. I'm going to be throwing out Pride and Glory gear. And plus, we have full draft analysis by yours truly after each pick live at the bar. So come on out, spend some money, learn some stuff about the draft, have some fun, do all that good stuff. It's going to be great. So thank you again to Ground Round for picking us up for another year. You guys are amazing. You guys have made my dreams come true. What can I say? But no more sappy stuff. No more sponsor talk. Let's get into it. Thane, now you are down officially to only 20 minutes to talk. No, I'm kidding. You can have as much as you want. But I want to hear it. You started off the five guys that the Packers should target in the first round. What do you got?
All right. Well, you know, this obviously this is a list of realistic guys. You know, I'm not going to say like, oh, we should grab Myles Garrett with the 29th pick. But, you know, number one, we'll start off. I really like Garion Connolly out of Ohio State, you know, and he just fills the need so well. I mean, outside, he plays great press man. He was, you know, this defense has been lacking speed for a long time, and the guy runs a 4.44 40 time. He had the third best three cone time of any cornerback. You know, he's just, you know, what you're getting with him in terms of man coverage. He's not great against the run, but he's 6 foot, 195, good, solid press man corner, and I think he'd be great in the Packer system.
Well, to be fair, I don't think any cornerback is really good against the run. I've seen a good number of them usually get their butts handed to them.
There's some rare ones in there.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. It's hard to argue that because he's got good size, he's versatile. Press man, fantastic. We obviously know that is a need. That is a you have to have. It's a prerequisite to play for the Packers. And as for, you know, lacking speed, yeah, I mean, when you lose Sam Shields, you just lose speed. I mean, bottom line. I think when you talk about defensive backs, talk about just our secondary in general, a lot of questions, a lot of concerns. For me personally, I'm not as high on the concerns as some people. I mean, some people were calling for just straight blitzkrieg. It was all over. Everything was going to happen. I can't imagine that Rollins and Randall don't come back a little stronger next year and healthier. Obviously, losing Sam Shields for the long haul is rough. Micah Hyde, obviously, very rough. So, yeah, corner is obviously something we need to address. That would be a great one. I would be all right with it. No arguments there.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sam Shields. You know, I just think that in Dom Capers' system, you saw, like, in 2015 when he came back from that concussion, you looked at how well the defense improved and, like, what they could do having that guy that they could put on an island, that speedy guy that could cover number one receivers without help. You know, that's just huge for the defense, I think.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, me and Blaine were talking in our last episode about how, you know, is there anyone out there that we could even pick up in free agency and then not have to spend that first round pick on a corner? And, you know, someone like Darrell Revis fits the mold perfectly. Now, I don't know if his speed is even close to being what it was. It probably isn't, obviously isn't. But, you know, him being such a great press man guy, I think he would have been fantastic. You look at the defense right now, the two pickups on the defensive line, one being today, that helps. And I think that takes away a bigger need. And it just puts more pressure on getting a corner in the draft.
Well, absolutely.
All right. Who do you got at number two?
Okay. Number two, you know, I'm going to stick with cornerback here. Marlon Humphrey from Alabama. The guy, another quick guy, 4.41, another fast one guy, you know, another guy who's super aggressive and press. Like, I've seen him on tape. He'll drive his guy straight onto the sideline, you know, but he does get beat sometimes in man coverage, which is kind of why I put Garion Connolly ahead of him, because I think Garion Connolly is kind of a more solid press man guy, but Marlon Humphrey is outstanding in zone coverage, and he's better against the run. So, you know, I just think that both of those two would be great additions. You know, I could have thrown it to an edge rusher there, but I really like both of those guys. I was really torn between the two of them. Like, I started out wanting to put Marlon Humphrey first, but I ended up putting Connolly first. But either of those two would be great, and another speed guy, you know, not to be repetitive, but.
No, I think you're good there. Marlon Humphrey, the thing with, I've seen him go pretty high in a lot of drafts. It seems like he has kind of moved his way up into being maybe the 1, 2, or even 3 best corner in a lot of people's mock drafts. So it concerns me as whether or not he would be available there. Now, if he is available there, I think you almost have to go with him. He's shown throughout his career that he's got the potential. The only thing that worries me is Alabama in just general with their secondary is so half and half. It's hit and miss, it seems like. You know, you can get a guy like HaHa Clinton Dix who looks like he's going to be a perennial all-pro, and then you get guys like D. Milner, who was so highly touted and just hasn't really done much. Same with like a Drake Kirkpatrick. Not saying that his career has been terrible or anything like that, but you know, these were guys that came out. You follow the draft, you know how it is. They were pretty highly touted corners coming out, and they just haven't done it. So that concerns me. I know that it's unfair to just lump him in with everybody else, but if he was available at 29, the way he plays, his size, I think that's something that our secondary lacks big time at the corner position. Is size, obviously. Rollins and Randall, both not even, I don't think, eclipse 6 feet. I think it would be nice to have a big, strong,
a size
fast corner. Yeah, for sure. So, I like it. I like it. That's all I can say. It's good.
Yeah, you know, and with that, like, it seems like every year for me, when I look at it, some player that I think there's just no way that they're going to be there when we pick, it ends up that they're there. And I would, as an example, HaHa Clinton Dix, I didn't think there was any way that he would have been there when we picked, but he was, and that was who I thought they would pick, and they did, you know. And last year, you know, Reggie Ragland was another guy that I thought, you know, he's not going to be there, but he was. They didn't pick him, but he was there. So you just never know with these guys, really. And I've seen Marlon Humphrey, I think I saw last week somebody from NFL.com had him in a 5-round mock draft. They had him mock to us in the 2nd round, which I thought was crazy. Wow. But, you know, if he's there in the 2nd round, that'd be amazing. But
yeah, if we could pick up him in the 2nd, I would say full success for the draft without a doubt. Ted could literally call it a day and just bounce out. You're right, though. It's the beauty of the draft. I mean, I've seen guys slip. I've seen guys go way too early. It's just what it is, and that's what makes it so much fun. But you're right. You know, these corners could drop. These corners could go big. I think with the way the league is and being so pass heavy, you're just going to see more corners being taken because more teams need to field 3 to 4 good ones. If not 3 to 4 great ones, just to match up. I mean, teams are lining up 3-4 wide on a regular basis. And, you know, back in the day, you had one great one and then 2 pretty okay ones. Now you have to have at least 2 great ones. So I think, you know, you're just going to see more corners going in the 1st and 2nd and definitely more corners being reached for. But with year 2, I think those are 2 that are probably the most safe of the top corners out there. I mean, Lattimore, I think, is a beast. I think he's for sure gone early. Sidney Jones out of Sidney Jones out of Washington. I think he's probably going to be the best one out of the entire group. I think, again, he'll be gone. And then after that, you have the options of Conley, and Adoree Jackson at USC, the Florida corners. Wilson and Tabor. I mean, there's a bunch. There's a ton of corners. I've said it in previous podcasts. This draft just sits perfect with all of our needs. It's just deep in corners.
You think one of them's going to fall off.
Yeah, I mean, one of them, if not two of them, could potentially go. And you know, honestly, God, Ted could go back-to-back on corner. And it's happened before, so.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be the first time, and it wouldn't surprise me because that's just what Ted does. Ted likes to keep you on your toes. So, I love the 2 first picks. What do you got for the 3rd one?
All right. Well, for number three, I got Derek Barnett, excuse me, Edge from Tennessee. You know, I know that you're really high on him. You know, my take on the guy is, you know, he's just a really pro-ready guy. You saw he has as many snaps as anybody at that position. Like, he's been so successful, too, with all of his, you know, All-American, All-SEC stuff. And, you know, one kind of a knock on him is, you know, he ran a 4.88 40-yard dash time, which isn't, like, super fast, but he's 6'3", 260 pounds, so you know he's got some size, and he did well in the agility drills, but just really a pro ready guy. And you see those pictures on Twitter and things of him getting off the ball like ridiculously faster than the rest of the offensive line and defensive line. You always see that. I think he'd come in there and you'd be able to put him in as a pass rusher right away. And yeah, that's another guy that you never know if he's going to be there or not, but if he is, that'd be a great pick.
Definite Ted guy. He's a Ted Thompson type guy to the T. You kind of mentioned it. I am high on the guy. I think I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's necessarily a statistical thing or if it's just a gut thing, but I love him. I love his size. He's NFL ready. He's got a stout build to him, versatile. I think he just has those traits. He'd be a great, 3-4 outside linebacker. You mentioned his burst off the ball. It's quite incredible. He's had 3 years at Tennessee, averaged at least 10 sacks, 10 or more sacks each year. Just productive. He gets it done. He's been getting it done. I think of all those guys. I mean, obviously you have Myles Garrett, you have your Solomon Thomas, your Taco Charlton, these are great DNs. Again, a deep class. But I think when you look at it, really, really narrow it down, Barnett's one of those guys that fits in the top three, the kind of guy that we're going to talk about 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now as being one of the better picks, which concerns me. And I hope that he falls to us. And if he does, I will be a very, very happy man because I think he's great. I know a big concern is the fact that we have, Matthews and Perry already on the outside there, but we need someone to come in and kind of reboost this defense on that part. And someone young, someone a little cheaper too, because we're spending way too much money on those two guys.
Well, I mean, depth is going to be an issue, this year after losing Peppers and Jones. Those were two big guys, and I just think Barnett, he would just roll right in there and he'd be able to play right away. I think, maybe slap number 56 on him and could be the next Nick Barnett or whatever. I don't know.
I like it. Playing outside. Good call. Instead. Yep, I like it.
Great player.
For sure. All right, who do you got for the fourth?
All right, fourth, I'm going to go back to cornerback again. Sorry, everybody, but I got T.D. White out of LSU. That's another guy who can play outside corner. Actually, he can play inside and outside, so that's somebody who I think could really be, if he became an elite corner, he could really shadow somebody to where he could just follow them all over the field, that number one receiver. 4.47 40, great tackler. Sometimes you'll see him play the ball in the air, super kind of aggressively, it'll get him into trouble. But really, that's really the biggest knock on him as far as I'm concerned. And, I really focus on that one need, that outside corner, that long-term starter. I just think that is going to help the defense more than anything. And obviously the pass rush being better would help the cornerbacks and safeties cover. But I don't know. I just think you need to have that corner outside, and T.D. White's great corner.
I like that. You're right. I mean, I think we definitely need that outside guy, and I'm concerned, and it worries me as to whether or not Ted realizes that. you know, when he invests in a guy, and especially in an early round guy, you know, like a Demarius Randle or even Quentin Rollins, he really puts a lot into him. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he left this draft with not getting a corner in at least the first couple, the 4 or 5 rounds. That's the concerning part for me. And I think, you know, I could see fans going just ape shit about it, if you will. You know, I look back at, what was it, last year? And, you know, I think our going into the draft, everyone was saying inside linebacker, inside linebacker, inside linebacker. And round one went by and round two went by. And everyone was freaking out. Or maybe it was 2 years ago I'm thinking of. And
it was last year.
Was it last year? Okay, thank you. And
I think so.
And then we eventually got Blake Martinez. And, you know, he is fantastic. And, you know, that's just – Ted could do that. You know, I think he could play the game where he doesn't draft a corner until the 5th round. We all freak out, and it ends up being someone legit. You know, as with T.D. White, total cover guy. I mean, just your shadow to the T. Follow, 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 run, run, run. I like the fact that he's aggressive. I think that's something we also lack in our corners. You know, there's a few other guys that you could throw in there. Like I said before, I think it's a really deep class. Ideally, I wish that Ted would go after a corner early and then pick one up again in, like, the 5th. Because I think you're getting probably 3rd-round talent in the 5th, just because of how deep this class is. You know, and the other thing about this class is there's a lot of size. It's not a real small class of corners in the sense of height and weight. I mean, you're looking at a lot of tall, aggressive, press-type corners. So it's a shot in the dark. It is. I mean, you never quite know what you're getting with the corner. You have an idea. You can balance his speed. You can balance his you know, certain instincts. But, you know, it all comes down to whether or not he fits the system. And I think that Ted and Dom Capers working together on that have been quite successful with it. So I trust in them, whatever they do. And, you know, if maybe they take one of these 3 guys, and you'll look a little smarter as well.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you should use that that inside linebacker analogy, because I was thinking the exact same thing when you were talking about, oh, maybe Ted won't take one. And, you know, that's been one of my fears as well. You know, I don't see Demarius Randle as an outside corner. He just, I don't know. I see him as more of a slot corner. And I think that a good experiment would be trying him at safety a little bit just to see how he would do, because, you know, he did play that in college. We do need depth there. And if you watch Morgan Burnett play middle linebacker on 3rd down last year, I mean, I just thought that he did an outstanding job. He's great against the run. You know, he'd cover tight ends really, really well. And I think that Demarius Randle fits there well, but you got to think that he's going to look hard at corner, but, you know, he might want to lay off it because of that whole first round thing. But yeah, you know, you'll get, and like you said, you could get a really good value in like the 4th or 5th round, but who knows if he'll even pick one at all. You know, he's got what, like 4 or 5 corners on the roster that are pretty much roster locks more or less at this point. So you just never know.
Yeah, and the thing with Randle that the most concerning, I think that he has all the skill in the world to be a great corner. I just, his size concerns me. And, you know, there's a lot of size in receivers in today's NFL. And, you know, you've got guys that are 6'3", 6'4". You got Julio Jones type guys. You got Alshon Jeffrey type size. And, you know, I can't see him matching up with them. Now, I'll take a minute and I'll give a straight shout-out props to Gunter. I think Gunter was remarkable last year, considering the circumstances. I mean, I did an article about corners before the season started, and I don't think I even mentioned him. I think I might have threw him in a sentence at the last second. And he went up and matched up against some of the best guys in the league last year, and he did pretty darn good. A lot of people gave him crap as if he went into the season as the number one. No, folks, he went into the season as the fourth, maybe even the fifth. And to end the season as the number one going against the top receivers in the NFL, you know, the fact that he wasn't just getting straight murdered every game is pretty impressive. The fact that he held a lot of those guys under 100 yards is simply remarkable. So I don't know if Ted puts a little stock into him. And considering him as being maybe one of our more bigger, reliable guys that he can start outside and then put Rollins or put Rand on the other side of him and then put Rollins on the inside. The safety thing, it's a good idea, but Ted's not going to do it. I just don't see it happening. Burnett, I love the idea of Burnett coming down. I'm the biggest supporter of the hybrid position in the NFL. I hope and I think that maybe Ted goes for a safety in the third, fourth round, fifth round potentially, just to get depth and then to get someone to kind of, you know, mold and get ready for that role to take over for Burnett. Because you have to want someone to run with HaHa for the next 4 to 5 years. Burnett's not. Burnett's up for a contract after this year, and we all know, you know, Ted's probably not going to give him the money. Not for being 29 years old. It's just, it's not going to happen. So you have to really genuinely consider the safety position. And I think he addresses it in the draft. And yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't go for a corner in the first 3-4 rounds. And Packer Nation just goes crazy. You know, castrates him on Twitter and all that goodness. But we'll see. I'm a huge Ted fan, so I'm going to trust in his process. And until his process just completely fails us, I'm not gonna give up on him. Even if he keeps no running backs in the roster. All right, go give me your number five, and then we'll cap her off.
All right, number five. I'm going back to edge. I'm going to go Tack McKinley, UCLA. You know, Tack McKinley, the first thing you think of is relentlessness with him. The guy does not quit on the pass rush at all. You know, 4.59 40, so he's a quicker guy than Barnett, but 6'2", 250, so not super tall, but, you know, he's got that 250. He's kind of prototype size. There's a couple issues that come up with him is his shoulder, and he's kind of raw as well. I've seen clips of him like trying to jump to bat a ball, and he's holding his shoulder when he's coming down. So I know that sidelined him at times, and you know, being a little raw isn't so bad, but that means that he's not going to be like an immediate contributor like Derek Barnett, for example. But you know. Sorry to anybody who likes TJ Watt a little bit better than Tack McKinley. I really debated on that. Also, I'd like to give an honorable mention to Forrest Lamp because that guy's a great football player, but I can't honestly say that I'd like them to pick a guard in the first round. But yeah, that's my take on Tack McKinley.
So you think Ted will go back to UCLA after all of his...
History repeats itself.
Yes, it's just that's my biggest concern with that pick. I think that, oh man, that one, it just, it scares me because it just screams Ted Thompson. And, you know, the fact that he's from UCLA, the fact that we need that position, the fact that he's really young. I think he's like, what, 21?
Yeah.
I just, oh man, he totally seems like that type of a pick. And it's just, get away from UCLA, get away from USC. I feel like that's the two teams we've picked.
Arizona State and another Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's very much in the Pac-12. And it's kind of funny because if you look at the positions we need, a lot of them are Pac-12, corners especially too. You know, there's a lot of Pac-12 corners out there. But I'm trying to look past all that when I look at Tech. I think that, you know, he's got good size, he's explosive, he's big, he's tough, he's all that goodness. I just see that, and I find myself wanting to walk away from that pick so badly. I think that he will go actually before us, and we won't have to really worry about it. Being from Nebraska is good for you because you didn't take TJ Watt. Otherwise, you'd have a whole lot of people chasing you down in the streets right now. I think that is just, you know, I put him on our mock draft, and, you know, I know a few people kind of gave me crap about it because they thought, you know, I did it because he's Wisconsin, he did it because he's a Watt. No, I truly...
Put it back and forth that weren't too pleasant, but yeah, you know...
Yeah, you know, everyone wants to find a reason to try to talk smack about it. But you know what? Realistically, he's a great fit. He's a great position. He's a great size. He's a great everything for what we would need, and that's something that we need. So it had nothing to do with that. I just think that he's good. Forrest Lamp. I'm not ever going to argue anyone that's got the name Forrest Lamp. There's just no reason and there's no place for it on the sweep. I think that getting an offensive lineman is, especially a guard position, is an extreme must for this team. Not only just for maybe even starting, but for depth. We went last year, we had great depth. We had a great offensive line. I mean, one of the best in the league. The year before that, our depth was challenged and we struggled. I don't want to do that again. I don't think we should do that again. I think we have four decent tackles. We have two great tackles and two legitimate backups. I think Spriggs is fantastic and potential is remarkable. And then Murphy, was it Kyle Murphy out of Stanford? Picked last year in like what, the seventh round, shocked me. I couldn't believe he was still around. Two good tackles. Then you move into the guard position and you have Lane Taylor, who started every game last year, completely surprised me. And then you have Don Barclay, who I don't trust. And then at center you have Corey Linsley, who I think is fantastic. But last year we had Linsley, we had Treader, we had Barclay, we had Taylor, we had, you know, all this depth and position availability, and it scares me to think that we're going to enter the year with half of that. So I think that a guard/center, guard/tackle, guard/anything is definitely in need. In the first round, though, no. So I'm kind of jumping the gun and going into the other rounds there. But, yeah, I can't argue too much with what you went with. I think obviously everyone is stuck with defense, and I think for good reason. Thoughts on a running back? Thoughts on getting someone in the first round as a running back? You know, I know Christian McCaffrey's been a name that people have been talking about. Anyone else spark your mind? Maybe is there anyone on the offensive side of the ball that you could see the Packers taking in the first round?
Now, see, yeah, it was kind of hard for me to lay off a running back, but like you said, defense, you know, it's really huge, and I think that's what they should go with. There are some running backs I liked. I really liked Njoku from Miami as well as a tight end before the tight end position became so strong. And, a running back, in terms of the first round, I do love McCaffrey and all, but, like, I just think that he's the same running back as Ty Montgomery. Like they're this. I mean,
yeah.
You're getting more talent with McCaffrey, obviously, but I think they're kind of the same guy. You know, I think Green Bay should be looking for kind of a more of a running type of running back, not a guy who's more of a receiving type guy like Montgomery or McCaffrey. But you know, later in the rounds, I really like Donta Foreman and, I don't know. I like a lot of running backs, but I don't really like any of them in the first round. Like, I'm not a big fan of, you know, obviously Fournette's not going to be there. I'm not a big fan of the McCaffrey pick. I don't really like Dalvin Cook field issues, not to mention he you know, if they'd pick him, it'd have to be in the first round, even if he was there. So, you know, I don't really like running back in the first round. Maybe, you know, if the opportunity presented itself in the third, fourth, you know, even second round, yeah. But Joe Mixon's a pretty good running back as well. But, you know, there's off the field issues there too. And with the pick that you'd have to spend to get him, I don't really like that opportunity either. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more with the idea on McCaffrey. I think he's fantastic. I think he's got a lot of skill. I think he's got obviously a fantastic bloodline. But again, it's not anything different than what you have with Ty Montgomery. And I think people aren't giving Montgomery quite the credit he deserves and quite, you know, the option to see. I think he's going to be a really good running back. I think people look at him still with that receiver notion and don't give him the credit that he actually will be a good running back. I mean, even you just said, you know, he's kind of a more of a receiving running back. Well, it's true. I mean, he has that option. I think that's the greatest part about him is he has that versatility, but he can still run. I mean, we saw him run between the tackles. We saw him run the outside. I think he just presents a mismatch for defenses because you have to be aware that he can easily motion out and line up outside. I think if anything, the Packers need to look for, you know, someone with a little bit more size, a little bit more of your classic back. There's no one that I would be willing to really go after in the first round. You know, and this might sound really terrible, but for me, you know, I look at running backs like, screw it. Get someone in the fourth or the fifth. You just got to get someone who can run and can run and isn't just completely a nincompoop about how to do it. I mean, if you can find a guy who knows how to run north and south and can read a block here and there, that's all you need. Someone who's hungry with fresh legs. And you can find that in the fourth and fifth. I mean, you can get your studs in the first and second, absolutely. But for the most part, I think it's ridiculous sometimes to go high on a running back. I have a running back in the fourth or fifth. I believe I have him in the fifth. In my mock, and I think that's where you go. That's where you got to get after him. That's where you have that extra pick, and that's where you can kind of, you know, put a little extra bulk on your offense. Yeah, other than that, I don't think offensively, besides the offensive line, you're really looking at much. I think we're good on receiver. I think, you know, Ted could go receiver later. Tight end, same thing. So yeah, I mean, offensively, not much. Defensively, that's where the first round sticks. You'd be crazy not to stay there. You know, the two signings of defensive tackles, I think was big. I think that really relieved any idea of us having to go after a defensive tackle or just a defensive lineman in general, and kind of can focus more on that outside edge guy or corner. I think that's one and two, however you want to look at it. You got to go with one or the other. So I'd say great choices. I wouldn't be mad with either of, or any of them, I should say. You know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Ted actually does and where this team goes and how he attacks the draft this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, you know, I like McCaffrey. I have no disrespect to his running style. I just see so much of Ty Montgomery in him that I can't really see it at number 29. I just think there's so much more need there in other positions. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, I completely agree with the fourth, fifth round thing. That's yeah, very true, and this is a very deep class. And you see every year you see that guy that gets picked in the fourth or fifth round that's a rookie that just tears it up, you know?
Yep. So, and that's the thing.
Jordan Howard this year.
Yep, for sure. And that's just how it is. I mean, you'll get your Ezekiel Elliott's and you'll get your, you know, Adrian Petersons and guys like that who get drafted in the first round and are great. You know, but for the most part, yeah. I mean, if we didn't have Montgomery, I would be all about McCaffrey. I mean, that's exactly who I wanted. And if you look back at even last year, before the year started, when we had Eddie Lacy and Ty Montgomery was a receiver, I wanted McCaffrey. Beginning of the year, that's who I wanted, because that's, I wanted that scat back type that could you know, motion out and could catch the ball out of the backfield and could be that crazy mismatch, you know. And I think Ty Montgomery's that. We don't have to pay him crazy amount of money. I don't expect him to really want that, and we don't have to waste a pick on it, so it's kind of perfect. And I think we can spend that fourth or fifth on a little bit of your classic back to kind of complement him, you know, or bring in LeGarrette Blount from New England, and we'll just solve that issue right there. Yeah. So thank you for being on. Thank you for letting us know your top five. If you want to come back on in a couple weeks, maybe do round two. Otherwise, shoot, we don't even have a couple weeks. We got the draft in 3 weeks. So, yeah, we enjoyed it. Thank you for being on. Why don't you let us know again one more time where we can find you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to be on. I did forget to mention my Twitter earlier. My Twitter is @trackontack. You can tweet at me there. You know, I'm always tweeting out my content, my opinions on things. Not that anybody wants any of those, but that's where I'm at.
Yes, and make sure and check him out on packtothefuture.com. He has been just drilling out awesome, awesome scouting reports. So make sure you guys check that out. Check them out, read them. That way, if you don't know anything about the draft, at least you can go to your draft party and sound like you know a little something. And make sure and check out PrideAndGlory63.com. A couple new t-shirts, one representing Fuzzy's Old Bar Shenanigans. They'll be back with us again for another year, as always, Pride and Glory. And you can check us out at the Sweep _PTTF on Twitter. Otherwise, check us out on the Facebook page at the Sweep. We'll be coming in every week now with new shows before the draft. And then we got the season started, so can't wait. Thane, appreciate it. And we'll hopefully have you on again.
Sounds fantastic.
All right, go back home. Just look inside the speakers.